Living Hope Assembly of God.
He deserves it all. Could you put that back up there, the last part? For unto you are all things. For you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Who deserves the glory? Jesus deserves the glory. Father, this morning we give you the glory. God, it's because of you that we have all things that we need. And God, today we say thank you for being our provider, our way maker. And God, we worship you not because of the things, but we worship you because you're God and you're God alone. And God, we thank you for being our Lord and for being our Savior. You're welcome here, God. Jesus, you're welcomed here. You're welcomed here. And have your way in this service. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. I'm telling you, he's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And I am thankful for him today. I am thankful for him today.
Hallelujah.
And I'm thankful for you today. Let's give our worship team a hand. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to Luke chapter 21 again. And we're going to try to close out this series this morning. Title of this series is, How Much Are You Willing to Give to and for the Kingdom of God? Very valid question this morning. This question, it doesn't start and stop with where we are this morning. This is going to be a question that we should ask ourselves until we see Jesus face to face. There are some practical ways that we can give ourselves to Jesus. We've been talking in the last several weeks about this lady who gave a couple pennies into this offering. And we're going to read that this morning. And we see that what she gave impacted, touched the heart of God. And Jesus used this as an illustration to drive home a point to his listeners. And this point that Jesus drove home didn't stop in the first century. This is something that every born-again believer must face consistently as we are growing in our faith and our understanding of who God is. I think it was A.W. Tozer that said that the closer we get to God in our relationship, the bigger God becomes. God doesn't minimize, but God increases as we get to know him. But also, when we get to know God on a personal level, our circumstances and situations and our problems begin to decrease. They become really insignificant because we understand that our God is able to solve and to rid our lives of the heartache and the trials and the tests and the problems that we face consistently. And I don't know about you, but I have problems in my life. I have things that I walk through, and if you're honest, you do as well. But how can we overcome those things unless we place our trust completely in Jesus Christ? So in other words, when you have a problem, when you have a thing that you're going through in life, you have to learn. You have to learn. Listen, you have to learn to give it to Jesus. How much are you willing to give? Some of us hold on to things that we should let go of. Some of us hold on to things that we should let go of because the thing that we're holding on to has gotten us a lot of attention throughout the days and years and months in a negative way. Have you ever seen a person who refused to let go of a thing because it gets them attention? Sometimes we're like that because we need people, we need acceptance, we need to be appreciated, we need to be seen. But I believe today that God is wanting us to let go of all the things that are going to hinder us from being who we should be in Him. And if we're going to advance in the kingdom, and if the kingdom of God is going to advance, Jesus in our text this morning is saying that we have to be like this lady, this widow. What does the Bible say? Let's go there together. I would ask you to stand. Maybe we're gonna continue to stand. Let's just stand. Can we stand this morning for the reading of God's word? I just feel prompted to do this again. Maybe it awakes some of us up. Maybe some of us are about to fall asleep and all of that good stuff. We're going to read God's word this morning together. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21, as he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw the poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this widow has put in more than all of the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Let's pray. God, this morning be glorified. God, speak to our hearts this morning as we continue in this series. And God, I ask that we will leave here understanding, God, your plan and your desires for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What did the Bible say? She gave her what? Her all. That's a question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Are we giving God our all? And what does that look like? As this church moves forward and the momentum is building and God is doing great things inside of this church, listen, there's going to come a point when God is going to ask more of us. He's going to challenge us to grow in our faith. He's going to challenge us to do more and to be more in building his kingdom. And that's just a place where we have to come to. If you're like me, I like to sit. I like to be comfortable. One of the things I hate at home is when we're settled in and I'm asked to do something. Hey, honey, will you do? Man, I'm so settled. I don't want to get up. I don't want to move. And that's how we become in a church a lot of times. We get into a routine and we have it all. We have church all figured out. This is how it's supposed to go. This is how it's supposed to be. And we're rolling and we're going and we're going and we're going. And then God really starts to move and he throw a kink in our plan. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? If you have the right kind of mindset, if you have the mindset, God, I want to be used by you. First of all, God is going to call you on that. And secondly, you need to be ready if God really does that. But in order to get there, there has to be a change of mind. We have to come to a place in our lives where we say, God, listen, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm available. Use me, God. I'm empty. I want to be used by you. I need to be used by you, and I'm not going to allow anything or anybody to hinder you from using me. We're going to get there. We got to get there. Did you hear me? We're going to get there, and we got to get there. Because the kingdom of God is bigger than our little worlds. The kingdom of God, listen, the kingdom of God reaches from one end of this world to this earth to the farthest end in full circumference all the way around the world. Listen, God is trying to make his kingdom known. And are we open in allowing him to do that? Last week we talked briefly about in order to get to that place, we have to become the sacrifice. We have to sacrifice. And I talked about last week, a sacrifice is something that is dead. A sacrifice, a servant of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be a servant of God, listen, a servant, you don't have an opinion. If you're a servant of God, you don't. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do. If we were a monarchy where we had a king, if the king told you to do, you better do it or he'll have your head. And the same with the kingdom of God. You don't have a choice when God tells you to move, when God tells you to do, when God tells you to participate, when God tells you to do something, your only position in that is to do. See, because there comes a time in our life where we need to have a fear of God. Not a fear of man, and I want you to understand, a fear of God. See, some of us are thinking right now in our church mindsets and how we've seen church take place throughout the years and this and that and the preacher and this and that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God has to be realer than it is today. This is what believers do. We come to church and we worship together and we sing together and we pray together, but that's just a small portion of a relationship with God. And God speaks. Who knew that God speaks? Who knows that? God, do you know that God actually really speaks and he wants to talk to you? He wants to talk to me and he has given us marching orders. Did we really, when you were saved, did you think that he saved you and you just need to go find a sarcophagus and you just lay in there and wait until the rapture to come? No. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. And guess what the plan is? Or guess what the plan involves? Huh? Us going. It involves others, us ministering, us telling others about the goodness of Jesus Christ. Being a sacrifice. I talked about last week, in order to get there, guys, in order to get there, we have to come to a place where we're praying more than we're watching TV. In order to get there, there has to be a living sacrifice that takes place in our lives. We have to get to a place where we're reading the Bible more than we're reading Facebook. And reading the newspaper and talking to people about nonsense. We need to get back to the place where we are before God on a consistent basis, being intimate with God. That is a real relationship with God. And you know, when we come to that place, guess what happens? We realize that it's not a monologue, but it's a dialogue, and God wants us to speak to him. And he's going to speak back to us. And God is going to reveal himself. We talked about the tri-model of the church. The tri-model of the church is the upward, where it's our relationship with God. And it's the inward, our relationship with each other as the corporate body. And it's the outward side of the tri-model. In that part of the tri-model, the outward part, most churches are dropping the ball. Because no one really wants to go anywhere or do anything. We like having church inside. We like the programs. We like the way things are going and the way things feel. But the moment, I want to say this, not the moment when the preacher tells you. Because guess what? If you're born again, I promise you the Holy Spirit has prompted you to speak to someone about the goodness of God. If he hasn't, that's not the nature of the Holy Spirit. Nor is that the nature of God, because the Bible says in the book of John that he came to convict men of sin, righteousness, and the judgment to come. So, and if he's convicting us of that, he's wanting us to share that with the world around us. And so what comes out of our mouth, because we have taken on the nature of God, so what comes out of our mouth is the things of God, and there's going to be an urgency to tell others about God. Amen. Listen, if we, I say it every week, if we get about 15 or 20 more good amens, we'll be over, we'll have this over with about 12:10. So we better get to rolling. Listen, one of the things I talked about last week as well, the reality is this: those who have been forgiven understands that on that day, grace collided with guilt in a courtroom of life where you and I were all found guilty and deserving death. Did you hear that? Grace collided with guilt. You and I are guilty. Amen. But grace, we intersect, was intersected and collided with God. Said, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for you. Jesus, the spotless lamb, came in that and came in the courtroom that day and paid the unpayable debt that we could not afford and gave his life so that we could live. The Bible tells us that for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What did it say? Therefore, glorify God in what? So that means that if you're going to glorify God, number one, you are alive. And number two, who are you going to glorify him in front of? Other people. And so if that being said, with that being said, how are we going to glorify God? Is that talking about up here singing and dancing inside of the building? Or is that talking about being a witness out in the world around you? Both. Yes, both. Well, let's harp on that last part for a moment. Listen, if you're going to glorify God, I don't necessarily need you glorifying God to me. I need to be glorifying God to the lost. They need to see us and they need to hear us talk about God, and we need to convince them and compel them into the house of God. Amen. We're on number two of amens. So we got 12 more to go, and we'll have it wrapped up. The question this morning, we're going to get through this stuff this morning. The question this morning remains, how much are you willing to give? See, some of us are going to sit here, and we're going to fold our arms, and we're going to say to ourselves, preacher, I do enough, and I don't need you telling me that I need to do more. But I hear the Holy Spirit knocking on the doors of all of our hearts this morning and saying, listen, you need to do more. Listen, the Christian that says that they are doing enough is a Christian that is dying spiritually. Listen, you don't want to be a cesspool. You don't want to be like the Dead Sea where water only flows in and there's no outflow. We want to have a consistent flow of God moving and stirring in our hearts. Listen, I've met a lot of people along life's journey. And those people who sit in church and never express the goodness of God are those people who are stagnant, and they're very religious, they're very self-centered. When you pour yourself into someone else, it gives you joy, it builds you up, because you are doing the will of God. The will of God. The will. What did Jesus do? Listen. Jesus came full, but what happened to him? According to, I think, Philippians. He was empty. He emptied himself. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, full of life, full of the Word. Do you think God wants us to hoard it to ourselves? But there are alcoholics, there are drug addicts, there are good people. Hence, I said good people. There are a lot of good people out there that don't know Jesus. Amen. Listen, God is not expecting you to be a theologian. But God is expecting you to be a witness. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The greatest thing that you can give someone is the gospel. You don't have to know all the theological words. You don't have to get into a theological debate. Really, what you need to do is just cast that seed. Cast that seed. Do you hear me, church? It's time that we figure out how much we're willing to give for the kingdom of God. And we notice in our text this morning that Jesus and some other disciples were looking at this lady. And Jesus was looking intently at this lady and seeing what this lady had done. And he was very impressed by this lady. And there was Jesus there and his disciples there and many others. There was the rich there. And this morning we want to talk briefly, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to notice a few things about the people this morning. The rich in this passage were very generous and gave much. Did Jesus condemn them in our text this morning? Jesus did not condemn them. They were not rebuked for their giving. He did not put them down for what they had gave or what this woman compared to what this woman had gave. It was as if he praised their offering, but praised her offering more. Every one of them brought an offering that was commendable. Do you hear me this morning? You have something that God wants you to give. Some of us are blessed financially and we give financially. Some of us are gifted in other ways and God is expecting us to give according to what we are gifted with. One of the things I hate more than anything is when a believer has been inside of the church for a number of years and I hear them say, I don't really know what God has called me to do. And so what they do, they just don't do anything. They just sit there. And a lot of that is because of how we've been taught. We have been made to think that until you figure it out, you just be quiet. In one way, that's a trick of the enemy because the enemy desires to muzzle your mouth and tie your hands and feet. When you are in love with Jesus and you have been delivered from sin and shame and degradation and all of those different things, listen, there's nothing that should keep you quiet because there's a fire inside of you and you can't hold it in. You should want to let it out. So don't ever allow anybody to hinder you from sharing what God has done in your life. Can I get an amen? Listen, that's one of the tricks of the enemy. Listen, why don't you just sit passively by and just wait on the Spirit? He's already speaking. He desires to speak. He longs to speak. And I know there are those few times, and I want you to hear me, few times that the Holy Spirit say, hold up, wait a minute. I'm going to have you to speak in a moment. But more times than not, the Holy Spirit is desiring for us to share the goodness of who Jesus is. The rich in our text this morning were not too busy to attend the temple. I want you to notice that in our text. They did not use business as an excuse to stay away from church. They gave themselves in spite of what was going on in their lives. They were not so tired that they needed a weekend away from God's house. They were not so lazy that they felt they needed to stay home and sleep in. In spite of their busy lives, they were at the right place at the right time for the right purpose. Do you hear me? Amen. So what that tells me is that not only were the rich there in the house of God, But Jesus was there in the house of God. And I want to bring this up not because you could say, well, the reason why you want us to show up at church is because you're the pastor. That's true. Can I get an amen? It looks better when people are here. But the reality is this. For every born-again believer that I know, the reason why most of us come to the house of God is because there is a longing to go there. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Because we know that once we get inside of the house of God, there's time well spent with God's people. And there's a freedom to worship God in a way that we can't worship him elsewhere. So we want to get to that safe place where we could worship God, and so that we can give ourselves to God in a way that we can't do it anywhere else. The house of God. How much are you willing to give this year? How much time, how much effort are we willing? Can I just be a pastor this morning and not just this general preacher that makes everybody feel good? Amen. How much are we willing to give to God's house? How much are we willing to give to the kingdom of God with our time, with our efforts, and doing outreaches and reaching people and loving on the people that worship here? Do we have a minimum? I'm only willing to give so much. Or we're saying, God, I want to give my entire life to build your kingdom. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Jesus went to church, and even though the services at times were quite cold and dead, he never took the position many take today that he could worship God outside the church just as well as he could inside the church. That's a teaching today. You know where that comes from? Influence of the world. And I'm just going to be honest with you, because there's some individual that likes to fish on warm days. And he has a family discussion with his family and say, well, we'll just continue to skip out because we need to be doing more family things. That's true. You do. But man, there should be a time set aside and dedicated to the things of God. Am I making sense this morning? I hope that you're hearing my heart this morning. I want to drive this home, because if we're going to grow as a church, I'm not trying to tell you that I want to handcuff you and keep you here all the time. I'm not trying to say you shouldn't spend time with your family. I have three little kids and a beautiful wife. I love to spend time with them, and if anybody's busy, I'm busy. Do you hear me? But I don't care. It doesn't have anything to do with preaching and being a pastor. Before I was a pastor and before I was preaching, I loved to come to the house of God. I loved to participate in the things of God. The next thing I want to talk about this morning is, when we look at our text this morning, the rich that were given and even the lady that gave, they were givers and not getters. One of the problems that I see in America today, and in many, it has drifted into the churches, this mentality, is that every child get a participation trophy. I remember growing up,
as well.
Can you hear me now? Well, praise God. I'm glad you could hear me now. The idea of getting and not giving lies behind selfishness. Growing up, I never got a participation trophy, and many of us never got a participation trophy. Many like to play the game, if you will, but only a few want to do what it takes to win. Do you hear me? A lot of us like to play the game. We like to come to church and we like to be preached to, but we don't like to be challenged. And so what happens is when this takes place, a lot of us, we pack up our things and we say, this may not be the place that we need to worship at. And so we go and find a place where we can hide and be comfortable. But I promise you, God is God and He is everywhere. And if God is asking us to do something, if God is asking us to be something, you could be in the most lukewarm church, the most passive church on the face of the planet, and the Holy Spirit will come to your pew and tap you on the shoulder and tell you what God is wanting you to do. We need to get to a place where we are more than getters and become givers in our lives. Many of us can show up to the field house and on the sidelines talking loud, but it is in the game where the pressure is the greatest and most intense, and it is where you either give your all or you quit. We're training. We're learning how to be givers. We're learning how to give our all. Those who either give half-heartedly or quit not only let themselves down, but they let down the whole team. Do you hear me? You have to understand the reason why God is making us to be givers is because it's more than about you. There's a grand scheme of things. When you give up on ministry, when you give up on serving God, there's more than you that you're giving up on. There are people that are watching you. There are family members that are watching you. There are children that are watching you. Listen, there are those who are only going to church because you go to church. You have to have a stick-to-it attitude and say to yourself, listen, I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to continue to give my all to Jesus for the kingdom of God. Here in our text this morning, we see that the rich came and they gave out of their wealth. But this widow's gift costed her everything. Do you see where I'm going this morning? It costed her everything. This morning, before you leave here, I need for you to know that in order to follow Christ, it's going to cost you everything. This widow gave as much as she could give. Are you giving as much in your relationship with God that you can give? Are you giving about two-thirds? Some of us only are given a portion, and we know we can give more. The principle is prevalent in everything that we do for Jesus. He judges our work and ministry not by its size or influence or success, but by the amount of sincere dedication and sacrifice, faith, and love involved in what we do. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at how much are you willing to give, and the sincerity of how much you're willing to give. Jesus tells his disciples, if you go to Matthew chapter 20 very briefly, Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. And I want you to note something this morning. I'm going to go ahead and go there very briefly and go ahead and start reading. It shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you, let him serve you. That's the polar opposite of the church, amen? Our mindset is that when we are in a high position, we want to lord it over each other. But in the kingdom of God, it is the opposite. We serve and not to be served. Do you hear me? But a person who gives their all understands that mentality. A person who is dedicated and sold out to God and is given their entire life in serving Jesus, they're not expecting anything back in return. Have you ever seen those individuals, those getters, 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 and they never give? What kind of personality do they generally have? A very selfish one, and they don't understand the art of giving because they've always received. And that's why raising children, one of the greatest gifts that we can give to our children is the art of sharing. Sharing some of the most valuable things in their lives help them to understand that in order to survive in society, in order to thrive in society, we have to learn how to be givers. This morning, the question remains, how much are you willing to give for the kingdom? Are you a getter or a giver? The getter would never be satisfied, but the giver will find satisfaction in his or her giving. And I want to note one more thing. Turn, if you take note of this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus, Paul tells the church in Philippi, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And all I want, and I want all of you to share that joy. The Bible also tells in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, now his time is at hand, that he's been poured out like a drink offering. Why was he being poured out like a drink offering? And what was the cause behind him being poured out? Paul was being poured out because he was giving his life completely to the people that he was ministering to. He was being poured out like a drink offering. And when I think of something being poured out like a drink offering, the first thing that I think of is something being poured on the ground or something being almost been seem like it in a sense, it's almost like it's been wasted. It's almost like it's, you know, it's something celebrated even, if you will. He's been poured out, and you can't retrieve a drink offering that's been poured out. You can't pick it back up and say, I want my drink offering back. What that symbolizes is that when Paul was being poured out, he didn't expect anything back because he had a giver's mentality over a getter's mentality. Listen, there's a city around us that needs the gospel. They need to know about Jesus, and we need to come to the place that the Apostle Paul had come to in his walk with God. He was a giver. He gave his entire life. The Apostle Paul probably was one of the most wealthiest men in his day. He was one of the most intellectual men of his day. He was high in the Sanhedrin, and he was very known. He was famous. He had all of the things going for him that a successful person would want have going for them. But the Apostle Paul said, listen, I am willing to forsake all so that Christ may be known. Have we arrived at this place yet that we are willing to become drink offerings? To be poured out. Time and effort given to the things of God. Time and effort being poured into our families, the things of God. Time and effort being poured into our children, the things of God. Your children don't need a happy meal more than they need the gospel. They need our example of who God is. A real father just doesn't provide for his children and family, but he leads his family. Can I get an amen, men? I hear it all the time. I got a wife who loves God, and she wants to see me lead my family in the things of the Lord. But in order to get there, I have to become a giver and not a getter. When we come to the house of God, You don't need to just come to get, but you need to come to see how you can give yourself to the things of God. You know, some of the most unhappy people in church, you want to know some of the most unhappy people in church are those who are not fully given in some area. It may be inside, they may give themselves completely inside of the church, or they may three-quarters of the way give themselves completely inside of the church, and it goes into marriages, it goes into relationships. I don't know about you, I don't want to be in a relationship where an individual is only given 75%, and I'm giving 100%. Amen. If you're in a marriage, how much do you want your spouse to give? 100%. If you're in the kingdom of God, how much does God expect you to give? I'm challenging us today, amen? I want to see us live to our full potential. I want to see us, when we get ready to go see Jesus face to face, I want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want you to, we're going to wrap this up in a minute. I want you to notice some things about this woman in verses 42 and 40 through 40 and 44. She was more interested in God and others than herself. Did you hear me? She was more interested in God and others than herself. And the next thing I want you to notice, she is completely unselfish in that she had two mites to give and could have kept one for herself. But she didn't. What did she do? She gave all. If she had only one coin, then the decision would have been simple. She could have given it one and kept the other. But she had two coins, and the choice was greater. She could have kept them. She could have given one and kept the other, or she could have given both, and she gave both. Do you hear me? She had the choice. Say, "Well, I'm just going to give this one and keep the other." How often do we do this, guys? How often do we do this in our, let's go back to it, because this is a very real thing. Let's be relevant today. How many times do we do this in our relationships with each other? We keep one because I don't want you to hurt my feelings. So I'm not going to give you my everything. See, I've been hurt before, so I'm not going to give you all of me. I'm only going to give you a little bit because I don't know if you're going to hurt me like the last person did. I'm going to go to this church, but I'm not going to get involved because the last church I got involved in, things became very cliquish, and I was pushed to the corner and not used like I felt like I should have been used. So I'm only going to give you just a little bit. I've been in some bad relationships in my life, and you know what? I'm new in this marriage thing again, and this is my second or third or however many times around. And you know what? I was hurt in every one of those situations, and I'm only going to give you just a little bit of me. Where are we at this morning? How much are we willing to give? This lady, she demonstrated great faith in God. She trusted God to stand by her and to meet her every need. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." When we give God our all, when we give each other our all, we don't need to worry about how things are going to happen in our lives. Because when we give ourselves completely to God, He is going to make sure that all of the pieces fit. And He's going to make sure that all things abound in your life. Last thing, she gave her all, and in doing so, symbolizing the spirit of the cross. Just as she gave her all, Jesus gave His all. And God gave His best. And we as born-again believers should give the same. And we're going to get ready to wrap this up this morning. And I don't know about you, but I want to give God my all. The Bible talks about that a master gave his servants talents. I think he gave 1 5 and 1 3 or however many, but he gave the last one 1. And he went away. And while he was away, he expected those servants to put what he had given them to good use. You know the story. And at the end of the day, this one servant decides to bury his talent instead of using his talent. And I have to ask myself the question, when I look at the story of the talents, why did the individual do what they did? And if you're here this morning, you have to ask yourself the question, why don't we give God all, our all? Why don't we serve Him the way that we should? Because of life, because of the test of life, because of the trials of life, because of the heartaches of life. Is that the reason why we don't give God our all? And we take the very gifts and talents that God has given us and we bury them? My question this morning is his inactivity due to his fear of failure? How many of us are at that place? God, I can't do it because I'm afraid to fail. Was this inactivity due to the what if game? What if I give my all and the people don't respect me? What if I give my all and everything is lost? What if I give my all and I don't gain anything out of this? Where are you at this morning? Why don't we give our all? I know if you're here this morning, it's a challenge this morning to really get our heads around the giving side of things, because the reality is this: most of us love to get. I love to get. And God is challenging us, Sister Shirley, this morning, that we need to be givers. One of the greatest ones used. Will my little insignificant talent make a difference? Will what I have really make a difference? Can I tell you yes? That little bit that you have, it will make a difference in the kingdom of God. Your little bit that you have may change the lives of many. One little old man in the Europe area, you guys probably have heard the story, and he would meet people on a street corner. And he would share his faith in a very simple way. And not one person responded. But in a turn of events, people started popping up out of the woodwork. And they were asked later, how did you come to faith in Jesus? Well, some years ago, this little old man stood on a corner and he shared his faith with me. And the individuals that would testify to that had gone on to be great people in the kingdom of God, and they had seen millions and thousands and millions of people saved. Countless, time and time again, this happened in this old man ministry that stood on the corner and just simply shared his faith. I tell you this morning, your little means a lot. But the greatest step that you have to make this morning is having a willingness to give. If you'll stand this morning. I need for you to understand that it's not about, first, we want you to serve in every way at our church here, Live in Hope. We desperately need more and more people serving all the time. We definitely need higher attendance. We want all of those things. But in order to get there this morning, in order to be a real giver, you have to understand what sacrifice is. And when we understand what sacrifice is, we understand the cross. And when we understand that he gave his life so that we may have life, there's nothing that could happen in life that will stop you from doing what God has called you to do. But this morning, God is touching the hearts of his people. Listen, there are things that I don't know about, maybe you're going through in your life, or something that you have gone through, and you have totally stopped giving. And you're tired. And you're like, I don't even know if it's worth it anymore. We're done with this series. I sped through a lot of this stuff. Don't leave here today without knowing that God has called you to be a giver in every area of your life. A giver. I said it. Those who learn the art of giving are those who are truly satisfied with who they are. It's those who pour the gifts and this thing to themselves. They're the people who are most of the time unsatisfied in their life. The greatest thing you could do today is give yourselves to God. Every head bowed in here, will you? Father, this morning I know that we preached a word in season. And God, there are people here with various things going on in their lives, God. I tried so hard to convey this message. And I really feel like, God, that I didn't do it any justice. But your Holy Spirit is greater than my failure. And God, this morning I ask that you would speak to your people. Touch our hearts this morning. If you're here this morning and you'll say, Pastor, listen, you've preached this message for the last 4 weeks, and this morning I realize that I haven't been truly giving myself like I should, and in part that's why life it's not going the way that it should, at least in my spirit, part of my life. that's you this morning, and if you want a touch from God, if you want to become that person that empties themselves and be a giver, if that's you this morning, slip your hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see hands all over this morning. If you're here this morning and life has been beating up on you and you've been giving yourself to a relationship, to a job, or to anything, and you feel like you're not getting any kind of return. You're like, God, why? Why am I here? What's going on? If that's you this morning, if you want a release this morning, if you want a peace this morning, slip your hand up this morning, and we're going to pray for you as well. See hands all up over the house. If you will, this morning, we're going to believe God. And we're going to pray for you this morning that God will give you exactly what you need. Father, this morning, I give you praise. God, touch our hearts this morning. God, help us to realize that it's not about us, but it's about you. Sweet Holy Spirit, minister this morning to your people. God, we raised our hands for various things, whether if it was a relationship or just a situation, or we're not completely given ourselves to you first and foremost. God, I pray this morning that you will give your people strength, that you will help us in those areas, God. We believe, God, this morning that you want us to be givers to your kingdom and to each other. God, help us to do this on a regular basis, God. Even when it gets hard, even when we're tired, even when we want to give up, God, help us, God, to build your kingdom. God, help us, God, to realize that our citizenship is in heaven and the time is short before your second coming. And God, this day, I pray, God, that every one of us, that we would be a church that is given to this city in proclaiming your goodness, God. And Lord God, I pray today, Father, that you will restore marriages, that you will restore homes, that we would no longer give parts of ourselves, but we would give all of ourselves, God. Heal the hurt, heal the wounds, God, that hinders us from giving our all. Holy Spirit, have your way in this house today. And God, I pray that you will be glorified, that you will be magnified, and that you will be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I hope and pray today that the Holy Spirit truly ministered to your heart. I hope today that we all leave here with something. And the key thing that we leave here with is a heart that bleeds to give to God. What else do we have that is reasonable that we give our lives completely to Him? Give our hearts completely to Him. And I would be remiss today if you're in this house, if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and give your life back to Him or completely to Him or to Him for the first time, would you please slip your hand up this morning? If you're tired of the way life is going, you're like, man, I've given my life just to things that really doesn't matter. And I want to give my heart to Jesus. For real, for real. If that's you, please slip your hand up and I'll pray with you right now. If not, Father God, be glorified in this house. Go with us from this place, God. Speak to us all week long. Keep us safe from harm. Lord God, we love you. Thank
Living
you.
Hope Assembly of God.
Give you praise.